Next month, mamatay man ako. Karamihan sa atin ng bata tayo ay nakapagbitaw ng ganitong klaseng mga salita. This communicates our seriousness or the weightiness of the very promise that we have just given. Of course, these are youth silliness or foolishness. Di man talaga alam ang ibig sabihin nun. We don't know kung ano yung weight ng ating sinabi. We just give out the promise so that people would believe us. But as we grow old, madalas natin mahuli ang ating mga sarili na lagi nagbibigay ng promises. Lagi tayo ng anak ko, no? And some we have kept faithfully, but a lot of them we break. We become promise breakers. And because of that, people are close to us have a tendency to shy away. And a tendency to not trust what it can actually happen. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you have been victimized by a promise breaker. Someone with significant or significant people in your life, probably gave multiple promises to you that they tend to break. And as they break their promises, they break our hearts. And this is somehow the reason why we have trust issues. Talking about our relationships. This morning, we'll talk about the ultimate promise. We're going to talk about the ultimate promise maker and the ultimate promise keeper. Yahweh, God. He gave a promise to a hopeless old man, not Balaam, but Abraham. A promise that he kept. A promise that he had fulfilled. A promise that not only benefited this man, but impacted everyone at all times, in every nation, those who trusted his promise. We are in our sixth week in our sermon series called Galatians, No Other Gospel. Paul teaches we're inserting doubts about churches in Galatia, questioning the message in the gospel that you were told before, questioning your apostleship before. So Paul, in his defense, had confirmed the gospel by rebuking them, calling them out, championing the apostleship for the sake of the gospel that he preaches. So he went also to Jerusalem to meet the apostles and the Lord and gave the right hand of Philip. They gave the right hand of Philip to Paul. That's a sign that they are partners in the gospel, and all of them are championing the same gospel message. But the very same people or person who affirmed the gospel in Paul are also the people who are not living in step with the gospel. So Paul rebuked them, called them out. And then Paul champions the message that justification is not by the works of the law, but justification is by faith alone through Jesus Christ. By grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, repeat from that new definition on justification, just a review. Justification means that God declared us righteous. Tayo mga guilty sinners, God declares us righteous. In a sense, not guilty, not on the ground of our merit. But as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and being aligned at the cross for justification, para makawala tayo ng sala. So yun po ibig sabihin ng justification. Last week we saw that the Galatians were slowly departing from the gospel of grace. Throughout chapter 3, Paul has been proving that the justification and the Holy Spirit can be received by faith and not by works. He argued from experiences through the Holy Spirit. He argued from Scripture by going to the man of faith, which is Abraham. And right now, verse 15, he argues by human example and eventually talks about the ultimate promise and how it was fulfilled. Well, friends, my prayer this morning is that as we walk the Christian life, as we walk fighting sin, as we walk struggling in the Christian faith, my prayer is this, that we would grow in trusting the promise keeper. Because the gospel of grace is God's promise plan to justify sinners. The gospel of grace is God's promise plan to justify sinners. We have 2 points for this morning. Number one, the promise of the covenant, verses 16 to 18. And number two, the purpose of the law, verses 19 to 25. Number one, the promise of the covenant. Sons of verse 15. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Ano siya sabi po to dito? Kung binagin po yung salitang covenant po dito, wala na isip na yung business transaction o business agreement. Hindi po yung covenant na yun ang sinasabi niya. Ang covenant na nasa isip na yung tinatawag na covenant of inheritance. Covenant of inheritance. Na kung saan ang patumbas sa panahon natin ngayon is last will and testament. Yung po ang patumbas ng covenant na yun. Kasi ang word na covenant could also mean testament. A covenant na ito, ang covenant na ito, or will, ay hindi isang contract na kung saan ang dalawang partido ay nangangako na tutupay na kanilang obligasyon o tungkulin na kanilang napagkasunduan. Hindi po. Na kung saan handa ang kaparusahan, kaparusahan sa kanila ang hindi tutupan. Hindi po yun ang covenant na pinag-uusapan nito. Instead, ang covenant na ito, o will, ay simply kinahayat kung ano pa ang balak gawin ng isang partido. Ano ba ang plan na magbigay ng will, magbibigay ng will na ito, A last will and testament ay isang legal arrangement na kung saan ang isang individual ay pinamana niya ang kanyang ari-arian sa isang individual. Hindi ito bargain. Hindi ito legal transaction. Hindi po. Mamaya, I will introduce the word na tinatama unilateral. No? Uni, one, isa lang po ang gumawa, isa lang ang may matutupan. Now, hindi natin alam kung anong klaseng legal system ang nag-isip ni Paul ang binanggit ng covenant or will na ito. Kasi marami pwedeng pakuha ng law, ay maaaring kinuha niya ito sa Roman law, na kung saan pwede pang bawiin o baguhin ang covenant or will as long as buhay pa yung nagsusunod ng testament. Pwede pang baguhin po ito. At nagiging irrevocable na lang siya kapag siya'y tumanaw na. So in short, habang buhay, pwede pa nang baguhin yung will and testament niya, yung covenant. As conservative, doon na irrevocable niya. Kung maaaring ginamit niya yung Greek law, yung Roman law, yung Greek law naman, na kung saan irrevocable ito once ito ay legal na register na. Regardless na buhay ka pa, papay ka na once na na-register mo na yan, ng proper documentation sa gobyerno, sabihin yung binigay mo yan, hindi na pwedeng baguhin yan, hindi na pwedeng nagpaksan. O baka naman yung pangatlo, ang hinihingi niya ay yung masasabi na Jewish inheritance law. Baka yung Jewish inheritance law. Na kung saan nakikita namin ito sa Luke chapter 15. Na kung saan hinihingi ng prodigal son ng kanyang mana bago siya pumanaw ang kanyang ama. Bago pumanaw ang kanyang ama. Buhay pa ang palatay niya, hinihingi na lang naman ito. Anong ginagawa ng prodigal na sanin ito? Ang hinihingi talaga niya ay isang irrevocable testament na kung saan hindi maaaring bawiin o baguhin. Hindi mo imano sa akin, from the beginning, yung irrevocable na ito, yung ginawa mo niya. Now, regardless po naman legal system na ginagamit ni Paul dito, kasi hindi naman natin alam, hindi naman nasusulat ko anong klaseng legal system ang ginamit niya, ang punto ni Paul po dito ay kung ang isang legally and properly executed na human covenant or will ay irrevocable, ay pwedeng maging irrevocable o hindi pwedeng bawiin o baguhin, mas lalong hindi pwedeng bawiin o baguhin ang covenant o promise na pinagkaloob ng Panginoon. Mas mabigat po yung weight niya. At lalo nga na yung pangako na bigay niya kay Abraham at sa kanyang offspring. As far as covenants go, God's promise kay Abraham was more like a testament. A will rather than a contract where God simply declares what He intends to do kay Abraham. Sa panahon na yun, ang legal arrangements ay hindi nakabase sa handshake o pirmahan. Wala pong gano'n. Instead, it was sealed through blood. okay? By a covenant ceremony. At para mas maunawaan po natin kung anong klaseng seal ang ginawa ng Panginoon, hindi kasi pirman, hindi kamayan, ang ginawa niya is through blood. So, I'd like to invite you to turn to our Bible service in Genesis chapter 15, tayo magbabalik-aral kung saan ginawa niya yung actual seal ng covenant na ito. Genesis chapter 15, and I will be reading verses 4 hanggang 18. Or at least some parts from verses 4 to 18. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, to Abraham. This man shall not be your heir, talking about Ishmael. Okay? The word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven, the number of the stars, and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then listen to him. So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord and counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half. Verse 17. When the sun had gone down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt, the great river, the river Euphrates. As mentioned, ito ang ganitong klaseng transaction o pag-seal ng covenant ay common na ritual sa panahon nila, especially when trying to seal a covenant or promise. Kadalasan ang dalawang partido na gumagawa ng covenant or promise, pag may ganun, they usually both walk in the middle ng dalawang ng magkahiwalay na pinakita sa napati ng mga animal sa binibig natin. So kung dalawang taong kakasundo, pareho silang tatawid sa gitna. Okay? To the new cross. It was a way of saying, kapag isa sa atin ang hindi tumapat sa promise na ito, yung mga nangyayari sa mga animals na ito, ganito mangyayari sa atin. In short, he's invoking a curse, he's invoking death, and even calls on God as your witness. Yung po yung nangyayari mo dito. Now, ang unique sa ginawa ng Panginoon sa pag-seal ng covenant na kay Abraham, ay pagkatapos ng utosan si Abraham na patayin yung mga animals at pag-iwahin mo rin ang kanilang piraso, and cut them into half, hindi niya pinalakad si Abraham sa gitna ng mga animal. Diba dapat kung may kaso yung mga nagawa, dalawa sila. Hindi niya pinatawid. Ang dumaan po dito sa gitna ay mismo ang pinatawag na smoking fire, pot, and flaming torch. Yun lang sinabi sa Genesis 15. May kabaan, hindi si Abraham, pwede smoking fire, pot, at flaming torch, which represents Yahweh. So in short, this was God who walked through the animal pieces. It was God who is signing this will. It was God who was sealing this will. This covenant, this promise, ang tawag po dito is unilateral covenant. Ano ibig sabihin nun? Which means he is responsible for this promise. He will be the one who is to be cut in half. He will be the one to be cursed if anyone breaks the kasundo na yun. Not interesting? Now, balik tayo sa Galatians chapter 3. Sa Galatians chapter 3, pinili ng mga Jewish Christians, ang mga Gentile Christians to obey the law in order to be justified, in order to be forgiven, in order to be saved from their sins. Ngunit sa covenant o promise na ginawa ng Panginoon, ano ginawa ni Abraham? Ano po nangyari dito? Well, according to Genesis 15 verse 6, medyo contradictory yung pinapakawa ng mga Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians, sa ginawa ni Abraham. Kasi ang ginawa ni Abraham, para ma-justify sila, makikita sa verse 6 ng chapter 15 na binasa natin, which I will be reading. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. In short, God declared righteous si Abraham because he believed the promise. Kasi nakita ni Paul na ang pangako ng Panginoon ay mas unang binigay kaysa sa law. The promise of faith is first and was never broken. It is still true to us today. At sa paano pa naman natin, Pastor, masasabi na totoo yung pangyayari nito sa ating time? Well, because Jesus fulfilled that strange ritual. Kasi ang mga Jewish Christians, Abraham, and all of the mga lalaki failed to obey the promise. Pray failed to obey God's law. But Jesus fulfilled this strange ritual na ginagawa ng Panginoon by fulfilling the promise. You see, Abraham and Israel did not keep the promise. Abraham and Israel broke God's promises and the law at the same time. Friends, this is true for us all. Lahat tayo dito have broken the law of God. All of us have turned away from the promises of God and rather listened to the promises of this world. We find it more enticing, more attractive. People's opinions matter more than the opinion of God through His Word. So we, like Abraham and his heirs, we fail. So anong ginawa ng Panginoon? May kasunduan. Ang kasunduan says, kung meron man lumabas, may mamamatay. Diba? So the question is, who paid the price? Ang kasalanan. Who paid the price? Since it was God who passed through the dead animals to seal the promise or covenant, then it is God, then God is the one who will pay the price. Regardless of nakasala, we will call. Remember, it is a unilateral covenant. Hindi dalawa, isa lang. Ibig sabihin, siya ang buwa, siya ang tutupad. How did God fulfill this? By sending His Son, Jesus, who fulfilled all the law and promises of God. Jesus paid the price. He is the one who was cut and cursed on the cross. This perfect sacrifice, ahal pa ng Panginoon. Jesus' death on the cross has paid all our sins in full. So friends, if you're here today and you're trying to trust yung mga mabubuti mong gawa, in hopes na mas matimbangan yung mga makasamang yung gawa, well, the truth is, lagi mas mabigat yung mga sama natin gawa, at lagi mabubuti natin gawa, ay masama pa rin kayo mabibigat na rin. The only way for us to be forgiven, to be justified, is to believe on the one who died for our sins. The one na tinatawag, the promise of the Spirit. Putting our faith and trust on the promised Son. It was si Jesus Christ who died for our sins. Died on the cross for our sins. And on the third day has risen from the dead. And the Bible calls us to repent from our sins. And puri natin, talipuran natin ang kasalanan. Ibigay natin para ng palataya kay Kristo ang ginawa niya sa Kristo para sa atin. Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. Look at verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Jesus Christ. Ang mga promises na binigay kay Abraham at sa kanyang offspring o supling found its fulfillment in Christ and are in effect forever. Yung effect ng Diyan is forever. Kaya ang blessings and justification by faith is therefore permanent and could not be changed by the law. Since ang Panginoon at Timupati, yung Diyos ang nagbigay nito, wala akong pwede na ko yan. And then later on, ang law dumating, mauna ko yung promise. So verse 16, the singularity of Christ is what Paul is focusing on. Continue on, like kung paano siya ng offsprings and offspring. Kung narinigisip ko dito na. Bakit sino offspring, singular, hindi offsprings, plural, yung sinasabi niya. So, he's focusing on the singularity of Christ. Maraming naging mga anak o offspring, si Abraham, si Isaac, Jacob, later on si David, si Solomon. So, maraming naging heir, si Abraham. Napakadaming pangalan ang nakapagpit. Mapapansin niyo yung Matthew chapter 1, may tinatawag na genealogy, yung mga lahi ni Abraham, lahat yung makalista yung pangalan. From Old Testament, ang daming halos hindi makunansya yung pangalan hanggang New Testament. Pero pagdating sa New Testament, na hinto yung pangalan ng listahan, ay Jesus Christ, which is very interesting. So ano yung sinasabi ko dito? Paul is saying there is only one offspring that ultimately matters. If Paul is not saying na yung mga offsprings na nauna ay walang kabuluhan, no, for a season, they do matter, pero yung only one offspring that ultimately matters is the one who can affect yung destiny ng those who trust Him. Ang pagbigay ni Paul sa singularity ni Christ ay ang nagsasabi na siya nga ang promised offspring. He is the only promise that God made to Abraham that is going to be fulfilled. Kapag the exclusivity of Christ, the exclusivity of Christ is the hope of Christians. Yun lang po. Maraming sa sabi, yun ang problema sa Methodismo eh. Masyadong exclusive si Christ lang. Well, yes. Kasi there's no other way. And because of the exclusivity of Christ, we therefore have hope. Hope for salvation, hope for change, hope for eternity, in the blissful eternity with God, we have hope in Christ. When God made this promise to Abraham, hindi ito wishful hope na sana mangyari. It was already planned, even before time. In fact, makikita po natin ito sa Genesis chapter 3. When the seed of the serpent will be crushed by that seed of the woman, which is evident fulfillment of God, which means that Jesus Christ will come and die on the cross and destroy and defeat Satan. Mga kaibigan, and here's some pastoral thoughts. Hindi natin mauunawaan ang ating buhay at lalo hindi natin mapapamuhay ng tamang buhay na ito if we do not trust the promised offspring. You will never know who you really are. You will never know what your purpose in life is if you do not put your trust and hope in the creator of the world, your very creator, which is God. Have you put your hope and trust in this promise offspring? You're not going to live a life rightly if your life is not lived for the glory and goal of Christ. Hindi magiging maayos po ang ating mamalaki if we're not living for the glory of Christ. Nag-focus si Paul sa word na offspring dito para sabihin sa atin na he literally stakes his life even on the smallest details of God's word. Hindi naman na, kaya kinobos niya naman. Ano tinuturo sa atin ng Apostle Paul dito? Ito po tinuturo ni Apostle Paul sa atin. Ang salita po ng Diyos ay walang pagkakamali at expired, even to the smallest details na nakalagay sa Diyos. When the Army of the Army, as a covenant community here at Crossroads, that we would grow our trust sa promises ng Panginoon written in His Word, the Bible. The Bible tells us details about God, who He is, yung talagang character niya. I'm wondering if somebody comes up to you and asks you, who is God? And I'm wondering what you're trying to say. And people say crazy things to say, God, well, Diyos, kahit lahat ay Diyos. Diyos, nandiyan lahat siya. Kung saan siya magpunta, I have heard the crazy. Diyos, pwede ka pag-Diyosin. Diyos, marami kasing Diyos, pero iisa lang yan. Pag nagpunta tayo ng heaven, magugulat ka, may mga naman kailangan doon, nandiyan yung mga Diyos nila. But if you want to know the true living God, you must trust the Word. You must go into the Word. You must read God's Word. You must meditate on God's Word. And as you get to know more about God, you would get to know more about yourself. Kung sino ka ba talaga? You will get to know more about the world. You will get to know more what makes God's, what is God's excitement. Ano yung nagpapasaya sa Panginoon? And as you try to know God's Word, to know what makes God happy, the prayer is, magpapasaya sa Diyos, magpapasaya din sa iyo. Which means embracing the desires and happiness of God. Friends, are you reading the Bible to know more about Jesus? Are you reading the Bible to know more how to live more for Jesus? What I don't know about the Bible for intellectual exercise, para may masagot sa TG. Na parang ito yung requirement. Mamamakit ka. Ayaw na. You can remember 1717. Well, we read the Bible to meditate on His glory. Verse 17, this is what I mean. The law which came 430 years afterwards does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. Verse 18, for if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. So Paul here mentions that the law was given 430 years after binigay ng Panginoon promise kay Abraham. The covenant was made long before the law. Kaya hindi posible magbago yung law. Kaya yung sinasabi ng mga Jewish Christians o yung mga Judaizers. Kasi ang pinakalit ng chismis, alam mo yung naos na yun, yung covenant yun, nasa power na yan ng law. Pero sinasabi ko, hindi, kaya naunin yung program. 438, bago mabas yung law ni Moses. So in short, yung ano yun, is you cannot, hindi siya pwede masatawan. Ang mga false teachers ito, yung sinasabi sa Galatia, mga Galatian Christians. Sinasabi, yes, God did promise this, tama yan, ginawa nga ng Panginoon yan, ngunit necessary pa rin na yung law para makuha mo yung benefits ng promise ng God. So, kailangan pa rin sundin lahat ng mga religious things na ito. So, si Paul, na kung saan galing sa, na, kung saan yung authority na ay galing sa Panginoon, ang sabag niya rin, ay hindi. Absolutely not. Hindi ganun yun. The offspring, not the law, is ultimate. Let me say it again. The offspring, Jesus Christ, is ultimate in the law. The God who makes promises keeps His promises. God did not make His promise in order to earn it by the law. Bilang mga anak ng Diyos, maaatin natin ang inheritance o pamana ng Panginoon because of God's promise. As we read the Bible, God's promise is not para kay Abraham. Mapapansin in Genesis chapter 5, pinakakuha sila na hindi lamang ng mga anak, ng nation, but also a land. Okay? And it then progresses. The progression, and then it becomes the whole earth. Then hindi lang lahat sa kanilang mga lahat, kundi all nations na yung pamana. All nations who trust in the promised offspring will have Abraham's blessings. Bilang Kristiyano, for us to fight sin, for us to live out not loving this world, is by holding on to the promise or promises of God. The world will promise you a lot of things. They overpromise under the deliver. The world will promise you things, what seem like to be opportunities, pero ang totoo niyan, it's a trap para hilahin tayo pa mata. Hilahin tayo pa rin sa Panginoon. Tandaan po natin, binigay ng Panginoon ang pangako na ito sa isang mama who does not have a country for himself, who does not have any offspring, wala na siyang anak. Yet God, by His power and grace, made it happen. So ang point dito as the Christian, bilang mga Kristiyano, we must hold on, trust on the promises na binigay ng Panginoon sa atin. There are some promises sa Bible that calls us for delayed gratification. Na huwag mo munang gawin yan, na kayo muna ito. Huwag mo munang sabihin yan, i-hold mo yung tao mo. Yung mga certain things na mukhang makalita, makarap gawin, dahil lahat ginagawa. Pero God is saying, magunduin mo, makakasama. And sometimes, when loneliness kicks in, when cravings start to creep out, mga desires natin become uncontrollable. To enticement and promises of the world start to become attractive. Friends, press on. Hold on. You're being tempted. You're being attacked. You're being pulled away from the promises of God. cling to the promises of God. By faith, trust in the grace of God through the Spirit of the Lord. And then we know not only Abraham. Inheritance is not something we earn. It's something that someone leaves to us. I think pamilya tayo sa ganung pamana sa kultura natin. Makukuha natin ang mana natin magmula pag sila yung pamana niya. So, hindi ito something at nagihirapan. It's parang or something inasaman, yes, but it's something that is easy. God gives a promise before the law. It's bound up to the promise. God is working on our eternal destiny. Law says, earn this. The promise says, receive this. Salvation at inulturo ng mga Jewish Christian, mga Judaizers. Justification, work hard. At inulturo naman ang gospel by grace, receive it because some already done. Okay? So, kung gano'n ang case, para sa inyo mo. Kung gospel by grace palabas to, hindi natin kailangan ng salita nito. Well, hindi. Hindi natin number two. The purpose of the law, ang malayunin ng law.
Verse 19. Why then the law? Ito muna tayo.
Bago natin makita ang sagot na katanungan na ito, sagutin muna natin itong tanong na gusto mong ibigay sa atin. Ano ba ang ibig sabihin ng law? Or talagang natin ang translation, batas. Pero ano ba ang sinasabi ng law nito? Well, ang law sa Galatians chapter 3, kasi maraming mga law, pwede yung sabihin ng law throughout the Bible, depende sa kanyang context. But kung pupunta mo tayo sa Galatians chapter 3, may specific na ibig sabihin yung law na law. Lalo sa chapter 3. So ano ang ibig sabihin ng law sa chapter 3? Okay? Galatians chapter 3 ay mga commandments and requirements na pinatulog ng Diyos to His people through Moses. So ano ang law ito? Well, there are three different types of laws na nakapaloob sa Galatians chapter 3. Na kapag sinabing law, yun ang ibig sabihin ng law. First of all, may moral law. Or moral law. Kasi ang moral law, ito yung law na bigay kay Moses, the Ten Commandments. It is a moral law. It shows us kung sino yung karakter ng Panginoon. Ito dapat ang itsura ng pamumuhay ng mga anak ng Diyos. So that is a moral law. Meron na tinatawag na ceremonial laws. So ano ba yung ceremonial laws? Ito yung mga dietary laws, kung saan may mga dapat silang kainin at mga hindi dapat kainin, mga ganito dapat ihanda at tutuin, hindi dapat lang tulutuin. Meron na tinatawag na festivals to celebrate. Yun yung tinatawag na ceremonial laws. Na meron din pangatlo na tinatawag na civil laws. Civil laws yung mga procedures at saka punishment for crimes like murder or adultery. Ito po yung mga pinapato na kapalusahan. So, ang moral, ceremonial, at civil laws, all together make up ang tinatawag natin the law of Galatians chapter 3. Does that make sense? Hindi lang siya 10 commandments, but in totality ng tatlong yun. So, ang tanong, bakit binigay ang law? Binigay na ito ng law, edi bakit binigay ito by grace naman, through faith, ang justification ng tao? Well, let me give you five reasons. And from that five sub-points we're done. First of all, the law exposes our sins. The law exposes our sins. Verse 19a. It was added because of transgressions into thy hand. The law exposes sin for what it truly is. What it truly is. Ito ay ang violation ng holy standard ng Panginoon. Ang ibig sabihin ng transgression dito ay the crossing of legal boundary or breaking of a specific law. Yung ibig sabihin po ng transgression dito. So the law has a way of making people want to break the law. Isn't that interesting? Well, first of all, the nature, the very nature na meron tayo, we are by nature lawbreakers. Okay? So, ang sinasabi dito ni Paul, yung law mismo, civil law, Ten Commandments, ceremonial law, is a way of making people want to break the law. Nakaka-intense, naalala ko na, and I shared this before, yari ako ng dalawang pamangkin na nangyari,
So you get up back then and enjoy taking care of infants. Well, you'd be like, it's not that I enjoy all the time. There are times that I enjoy. So here he was, and I'm going to come up in the middle, and reached the age of 3. Masaya na, hindi, maingay na, malikot na. Kakalagpas lang ng telepathy, pero 3, masaya na lang kung isa-isa yung gusto niya, isa-isa. So, yung number one na billing ko is yung mga outlet. No! Don't! What's interesting is hindi lang na ginagalawa. But when I started saying, no, don't, nakita ko na siya dahan-dahan lumalapit dun sa kontrol. Sabi ko, no! So, don't kasi it will hurt you. Lalo ka tayo sa lalang. So, nung pumunta ko sa papalapit siya na palapit, tinitingin siya sa akin. Stop! Malapit ulit. Kung ba't paglapit sa kundon, inawakan niya, tumingin sa akin. What are you gonna do now? You see your fallen nature ng tao. Nandun na yun eh. The law is not sin. The law exposes sin. And ang sinasabi ni Paul dito, the law has a way of making people want to break the law. Okay? Pinaliwanag ni Paul ang effect ng law sa kapamamaraan ng Romans chapter 7, verse 7. You can write this down. Romans 7, 7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. So, it gave me information kung ano ang kasalanan sa kasalanan. And as soon as Paul found out what sin was, he wanted to try to break it. Pero minsan, the fallen nature wants to do it. Or in Galatians chapter 3, he is saying, the law was given in order that he might be a transgressor. Some say that the law is not preventive, but provocative. No? Preventive. Yeah, preventing, provocative. Rather than preventing people to sin, it provokes people to sin. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Because the very cry out ng ating nature is rebellion. Pagsaway. And I remember that same kid na nag-break siya ng pipe, pinalo ko. And umiiyak siya. Sabi ko, bakit ko ginawa yung the very thing na sinabi ko, huwag mong gawin. You can hear yourself there. And ito ang sinabi nila, kasi hindi ko alam gusto ko lang eh. You know, it's not that gusto ko lang. And sabi ko sa Romans 3:20, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since though the law comes, knowledge of sin. And Shannon law informs us of sin, and from there it provokes us to disobey. Hindi din ang Panginoon ng law to reveal the way to be justified in it, or to be saved by it, but it discloses the power of sin in our lives. The more we know the law, the more we see our sins. Is this a good thing? Yes. From the time na ikaw ay iniligtas ng Panginoon sa iyong kasalanan, naging Kristiyano ka, praise God, yung mga dating kasalanan na iniibig mo, ngayon inamumuhian mo. Why? Because of the Word of God through the Spirit of God. One person told us, Pastor, bakit hindi na lang pinaalam ng Panginoon lahat ng mga kasalanan ko para yung sanctification ko makompleto na. Kasi gusto nila magbago, nahirapan siya magbago, pinaalam. Parang bakit pakutago tapa, pinapakita ng Panginoon yung mali ko. Kasi sinumahan pala ako ng bago niya. Eh, nakumayin pala ako sa ng kasalanan, makilak ko rin. Bakit hindi na lang isang bagsak? That was a good question. Para baguhin na lang ng Panginoon. But here's the thing. It's God's grace na hindi na pinakita lahat ng kasalanan mo. Because if He did, you would be. Have you ever experienced talking to someone and you said something na alam na makakatawa and then you go home and your wife tells you all of a sudden na hindi mo sa inyo, ito parang nakakaya yung sinabi ko nila. And you feel guilty and you feel bad and from there, hindi ka nakakatulog. Hindi mo ayaw because isipin mo isa lang lang. What if God reveals you all of your sins? Guilt will kill you. because nobody wants to take truths or reality ng ating kasalanan. Sino po ang situation dito? God's Word exposes our sins. John Calvin, a theologian, father, Reformation, sinabi niya, the law was given in order to make transgressors obvious, and in this way to compel men to acknowledge sin. Number two, the law has its limitations. In one sense, God's law is eternal and perfect. It is God's permanent moral standard for His people. Tama yan. Itong standard na ito was made to know, was made known to Adam, which unfortunately, hindi na sinunod. It will last for eternity because it is based on the very character of God. There is another sense na itong law na ito ay temporary o panandaliw lamang. Itong specific administration of the law na binigay kay Moses ay panandaliw lamang. So ano yung mga administration niya? Yung mga ceremonies, mga curses, mga festivities, sacrifices ng Mosaic law, lahat yan ay may limitation, may hangganan. It was enforced only until the offspring would come to fulfill the promise na siya kailangan magawa. That's why that's verse 19b. Until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. Gaya na nabanggit natin, the promise was made in singular, pagdating sa verse 16. Because it referred to a very specific person, God's Son. Siya lang pwede magpulit yan. Verse 19 ulit, and it was put in place through angels, but intermediary. Sabihin niya, may kumikita kayo na, ano yung sabihin intermediary na ito, or mediator? Several times sa Old Testament, God has used angels to be His intermediary. Makikita niya sa Deuteronomy 33:22, Psalm 68:17, Acts 7, verse 53, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. The fact that God gave the law through angels ay ginagamit ng mga Judaizers to convince the Galatian Christians na kailangan nilang sundin yung law para mapulpil yung gospel. Kasi yung kumanta yan is through the angels hindi na Panginoon. Dahil na it was delivered by angels. They are using yung fact na yun that God spoke to angels to give the law an added authority to God. Alam mo yung scripture? Diba sabi yun? Angels, then si Moses, and then sa akin, then may yung law, kaya kailangan mo yung Panginoon, kaya yung promise, alam mo yung ganang klaseng way ko. So, nakukonvince nila yung mga Galatians. Susulat na. Muli para kay Paul, the law of angels did nothing to enhance the law. Ang promise ng Panginoon ay walang ganong klaseng mediator. Ang promise ng Panginoon na binigay kay Abraham ay directly na binigay ng Panginoon kay Abraham, walang mediator. Ngunit ang law naman came to God's people indirectly. So yung defense ng promise is ano? Promise directly binigay ng Diyos kay Abraham. Law indirectly binigay to mediators. Angel, Moses, then God's people. Ito po nangyari ito. Moses served as the go-between guy ng Panginoon at ng tao. Verse 20. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. God spoke to people through Moses, and Moses spoke for God sa kanyang mga tao. This also tells us yung hopelessness ng tao. Why? Kasi hindi siya makadiretso sa Diyos. Kailangan niya ng mediator. Because we are sinners, we cannot go directly to the presence of God. We stand a distance sa Panginoon. The promise came first to Abraham, first hand, samantalang ang law comes to the people, third hand, God, angels, Moses, then people. And that's why mga angels, yun ang mga kanilang purposes, is to serve. Now, just a side note, ito rin yung mga dangers in giving too much attention sa mga angels. Ano, marami tayo natatagal about mga angels. Ako sabi na, when you grew up, your parents said, meron kang guardian angel. Nasa kanilang demonyo, kasi nasa kanan. Pakinggan mo lagi yung angel mo. And sometimes it goes by the name of consensya. Pakinggan mo consensya mo sa angel. And we will love to collect one of yung mga religious superstitious beliefs about the angels wanted to be used and worshipped. Pero at no point of view, angels have zero desire to be worshipped. The law has a limited function in the time of God. So, if you're somehow into angels, start asking yourself, is this already an idolatry? Because the angels rather would worship God than to be worshipped. So, going back to our point, the law gave way to the promise. This is the third sacrament. The law cannot give life. Hindi nakapagbigay ng buhay. The law and the promise are two entirely different principles, of which the law is clearly inferior to the promise. So now Paul asks the obvious question to verse 22, the main question of Paul. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, the righteousness would indeed be by the law. This is a rhetorical question, as if it sounds like two contradictory statements. It follows. God forbids that the law should stand against the promise. Hindi ho magkaaway ko, hindi ho to divorce, it's complementary. Ang dahilan kung bakit sila magkaiba, and here's the only reason to bakit magkaiba ang promise and law, because magkaiba sila ng purpose, ng layunin. The law could not give life, it could then we have no use of the promise. Kung makapagbigay ng buhay ang law, then para sa mga promise ang mga. This is what the Judaizers are teaching the Gentile Christians. The way to get a righteous life is by keeping the law. Remember last week, the law provides blessings to those who can fulfill it. And sa mga hindi makatapad ang utos ng Diyos, there's curses. Ang problema, no one can fulfill, kaya puro curses. Puro sumpa ang binibigay ng law. Para sa Romans 7:9-11, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the command came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin seizing an opportunity for the command deceived me and through it killed me. The law is no good for the weak mankind. And the truth is, wala tayo din naman. Pero may isa lang at the time, and it's Jesus Christ. Fourth, the law leads us to faith. Ito pa rin lagi. The law leads us to trust Jesus. The law is not just temporary, it's also preparatory. Hindi lang siya pag-aanda, hindi lang siya temporary, hindi lang siya pag-aanda. It was leading us to something that is better, verse 22. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so the promises by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The scripture here is the law. And the law reveals sin, in fact, to increase it, so that the whole world becomes imprisoned by it. Ito ang ganda mga languages ng mga dito. Therefore, the whole world is under the law, convicted of sin, and captive to guilt. Ang tao ko rito, ay sinasabi na dito, is because lahat tayo hindi matupad yung law, then naging curse ng law nasa atin. Walang tayong tumupad na ito. Ang tao ko rito is total depravity. Which means total wickedness, total evil. Wala na tayo kakayanan maging tama sa harap ng Diyos. At pinapakita po yan ang law. Ina-expose ng law sa atin. The law is powerless to make one right with God. Hindi kaya magligtas ng law. It condemns us. And as people desperately start looking for a way out of sin, matutuklasan mo na lang sa nasa mga patuloy mo ginagawa, magpakabait, magbago, magpakabait, sundin yung magulang mo, sundin yung sa alakaran sa trabaho, sa opisina, pinipilit mo kaming mahusay na anak, maging mahusay na empleyado, maging tapat na asawa, pinipilit mo yan. And from there, alam mo na hindi mo kaya. You always fail. You always have a tendency to sin. You try to look for coping methods. I'm not going to go in. I'll do this. 10 steps of becoming a better so-and-so. By tips, again, increasingly. And that's the danger about moralistic preaching, friends. It changes, it tries to address the external, hindi internal. So that's why we need to address something that is within. The law has no power to change. And because when we come to a point na hindi natin alam ang gagawin, pinilit mo na magbago, natatawag, galit kasi alam mo ang mangyayari, ito ko ganda dito ko dito mangyayari. He desperately cried out for God. Maybe you're here today, you're trying to be good. Maybe God is just waiting for you to be desperate and cry out to Him for help. If you're trusting too much in your good works, cry out of the truth is you can't. Human beauty ng God. Human beauty ng salita ng Diyos. Makikita mo sa sarili mo yung mukha.
Kahit Christian ka na, you're trying to walk faithfully, pero problema, you're trusting too much on your walk rather than trusting on the one who is giving you the will to walk. And the reality is that if you come to a point that we Christians fail, we cry out. Come before Him, to God. The law leads us to faith. Therefore, the whole world is under the law, convicted of sin. And this, my friend, if this is you, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out for God's mercy. He is the only escape. Yun lang ang way para ikaw ay magbago. Yun lang ang way para ikaw ay magkatod ng buhay na malalanggan. Ito lang ang tanging paraan para ikaw ay mapatawad sa iyo. Wala ba tingin ka na ba friend na sinabi sa no? So, brad, wala na ang katawaran. Hindi mo wala ko sa soul myself to say that. So, yung mga certain groups ng time na yun na nagranap yung mga satanista. Saan po po alaan na yun? Hindi kaya na kanilang bobo. Yung project, yak siya na iyak. Wala na, kalulo ako na sa inferno na. Ito hindi na iyak. As long as you are alive and there's blood flowing in your veins, there is hope. Because Christ died for even those na sinasabi ng Satan which he is. Friends, repent from your sins. Trust Jesus Christ. This is how the law leads us to Christ. The law causes us to be desperate and hopeless. Para marinig at yung hope natin. Sabi ni Martin Luther, the principal purpose of the law is that theology is to make men not better but worse. That is to show them their sin, so that by the recognition of sin, they may be humbled, frightened, worn down, they will receive grace and the blessed offspring. In short, the Lord is making them desperately wanting to trust Christ. But friends, if you're here today, you're hearing the gospel of Jesus, and you're hearing God's word, ang loob pwede itong patikasin ang ating puso. If you choose to follow in your heart and reject the message of the gospel. When the law is used properly, therefore, it is not opposed to the promise. Rather, hindi siya nagpa-contradict, nagpa-complement siya. Number five, last. The law is like a guardian. Guardian, verse 23, but before, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now the faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian, for in Christ Jesus we are all sons of God with faith. Ang guardian, security guard, divine authority, Paul. Ang guardian Paul came from the Greek word, pedagogia. Another word, pedophile, or pedo, pedo, which means different. Okay. Pedagogy is a slave, it's a type of slave, appointed to serve a child's protector. Okay, so I'm going to say that. So, may mga mayayaman at Greek families, na kung saan meron silang bumibili silang mga slave na pedagogy, na kung saan yung mga anak nila ay individually na pinalalaki ng mga ito. Now, these are not a kind of slaves na not educated or actually, they are very educated people. Now, from age 6 to late adolescence, binabantayan sila mga pedagogy na to. They supervise and care for themselves, for their needs. It was a babysitter, part-time chaperone, part-time disciplinarian, and was also a probation officer. So, akala niyo, dito lang yung mga job offers na come, secretary, come, accountant, come, and then, okay, come, disciplinarian, come, probation officer. And according to some studies, the pedagogy is in discipline by using the rod. So disciplinarian as well. These men are not primarily the teachers. Sometimes they help the child, maybe even less than that. They are helpers, they are slaves. He helped feed, dress, and carry educational materials about them before. There is even a special room to my pedagogues, pag sila yung nandun sa eskwela, parang gano'n, may pag doon sila nag-aaralay sila. But primarily, he was not its educator. He is a disciplinarian. He provided protection as well as punishment. Yun ang trabaho ng mga mga ito. Now, any description na ginawa ni Paul pag natin sa guardian, the law is like a pedagogue.
that raises the Jews of childhood to adolescence. Paano? The law was not a schoolmaster to teach them how to get better until finally God accepts them in equal manner. The law is a disciplinarian. It told God's people what to do, at kapag hindi nila tumpad, it disciplines them for failing to do it. And when the child reaches adulthood, it no longer needs supervision ng mga mama ito. The same thing, the law was needed only until Christ came in the Father's endowment. The true object of their faith was Jesus Christ. And when He came on the scene, the time for the law was over. A new era of faith has begun. The law revealed sin by showing that our misdeeds are transgressions to the law of God. The more we know about the law, the more it shows us our need for grace, thus drives us to Christ. Romans 5:20-21. Now the law came and increased the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also reigned through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The law cannot save us, but it can lead us to the Savior. Friends, this is the reason why we need to know God's Word. This is why we need to call sin as sin. Call sin by its name. Kanatin yung cute ang pangalan ng sin. Huwag natin i-lessen yung magnitude ng horror ng sin. Adultery. Ito, wala pa rin natin sa mga tiyan. No? Adultery, but remember, adultery is not a love story. It is a horror movie. Just imagine the horror that will be in a family. Children, horrors that church. It's not a love story. It's a horror movie. And if you're tempted by my friends, I urge you to repent. Seek assistance. We need to fight sin as a community. We need the law to lead us to Christ. Yes. For only by when the law reveals our sin, then we will start to look for the grace and the godliness and gospel of Jesus Christ. We trust the promise and we look to the law para makipag-usin ko. So, ibig sabihin, Pastor, once I'm justified now by faith, saved by Jesus Christ, that way we're going to win. Ay, ang commandment, ang simple na commandment, well, the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law points to your desperation and your need for Christ. Now, let me say this as closing. If you are really justified by faith in Jesus Christ, then dapat makita yung qualities and access the Ten Commandments of every more. In fact, Jesus talagang pinili pa niya, he intensifies yung Ten Commandments. That's how Jesus Christ is this. Sabi yung Ten Commandments, but you shall not commit adultery. Ano sabi yung Jesus Christ? Well, kapag kumihin ka sa mga babae na may pagnanasa, then committed adultery ka na. Sabi sila naman dito na, oh, kang pumatay, sabi sa Ten Commandments. Sabi yung Jesus Christ, well, pag hindi kayong patawarin ng kapatid mo sa Panginoon na nakapatay. Sabi, you see, if you are a true justified person saved by grace in Jesus Christ, then new qualities ng Panginoon sa Ten Commandments should be visible sa life mo. Not as a requirement para mag-win mo si Christ, but as an evidence that you are now in Christ. Should we be reminded by the Ten Commandments? Yes! By all means, paalala mo sa mga kaibigan mo, sa kapatid mo sa Panginoon, na masama ang mga nangyayari. Paalala mo kapatid sa Panginoon na dapat walang ibang Diyosin. Why? Because we're spiritually amnesiacs. We easily forget that we are not our own. We need God's Word, the commands, the Bible, but we need the Spirit of God to live out the gospel and the commands. That's where it's going to be that out. We trust in the promise because the gospel of grace is God's promise plan to justify sinners. Let's pray. Father, it's good to exercise our brain in order to minister in nalalaman namin about your word sa aming puso. Lord, there's a lot of A lot of terms that comes out here. There's a lot of technical terms. There's a lot of theology to this. Would you, I trust coming on that, not everything from you don't want to know. One day I do pray. Ipatuloy ito sa puso at isipan namin that one day gagamitin ito ang alaala ng ito. Upang itulit ko kami. Upang strengthen kami. Upang encourage kami. Would you always remind us of the promise when we feel that we want to trust the Lord for righteousness. In Christ's name, amen.